Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Damley. Thank you guys all for coming back, and we are inching ever closer to the Colts Week 3 matchup on the road against the Philadelphia Eagles. Big matchup for the Colts. A lot of things involved here. Carson Wentz coming back for his first game of the season. Obviously, the familiarity there with Frank Reich, Doug Peterson, and the Eagles organization at all in all. Lots of things to look at through this matchup. A lot of different situations on both sides of both rosters. This is going to be, I think, an exciting game, to be quite honest with you. It's definitely better than its build. Right now, the Colts, I think, in a couple different places are either 6.5-point favorites or 6.5-point underdogs. Or 7-point underdogs. So depending on which way you look at it there, they're basically giving the Eagles a full touchdown at home. So that's not to be unexpected necessarily. Today, to help me kind of talk about what the Colts would plan to do against the Philadelphia Eagles is my friend Kevin Hickey from Colts Wire. Kevin, thanks for jumping on, my man.
What's up, Matt? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Let's dig in here. First and foremost, what strikes you about this matchup between the Colts and the Eagles here in Week 3?
Well, this, coming off a big win against the Redskins in Week 2, you know, it's the first time in, I think it's 5 years that Colts have started 1-1.
Right.
That just to be able to have that kind of momentum going into this matchup certainly helps. You know, you never want to start 0-2, but have that kind of momentum will go a long way. And I think they can really make a statement here. This is a game where if they can go on the road, and even if they don't necessarily win the game, if they can show they can compete and stay in the game throughout the entire contest, they can make a statement to say, you know, hey, you know, we're not the 4-12 team we were last year. You know, we've got a lot of different things on both sides of the ball. The defense is, I mean, head and shoulders just completely different. Mm-hmm. They're fast. They're a good tackling unit. They've shown to have good discipline. The defensive line is, to me, it's very underrated. And then the offense is, you know, having Andrew Luck back is obviously huge. But the things that Frank Reich has been able to implement into this offense, you know, it's gone a long way. So this is definitely a statement game. Even if they don't win, you know, they can show that they can compete with some of the perceived top teams in the NFL. So this is a pretty big matchup.
Right. We look at their injury for the week, the injury report, and it just doesn't look pretty, my man. We've got
it doesn't.
Doyle is probably not going to play. It doesn't look like he hasn't shown up at least at practice to this point on Friday for his Friday practice, and a lot of other guys as well are absent. This, you know, I talked about this last night a little bit, but with that and Hewitt and Ebron being your only two tight ends there, and Hewitt looked awful blocking last week, you know, this is kind of something that, what are they going to do if Doyle is out? Are they going to elevate Eric Swope there? But the tight ends in general are really, you know, an essential part of this offense under Frank Reich and with Andrew Luck running it. And if, like, for example, if T.Y. Hilton's not available or Marlon Mack, I mean, that's three fewer weapons right now, at least two of those, Hilton and Doyle. Luck depends on quite a bit. I mean, this could be a really odd game personnel-wise and, as far as I'm concerned, approach in how they're going to attack the Philadelphia defense.
Yeah, you said it. I mean, their tight end room, as talented as they are with Doyle and Ebron and even Hewitt, it's thin. To have three tight ends, you know, one of them goes down, then you're looking at, okay, now we only have two tight ends. And the way they run two tight end sets, those tight ends are going to be on the field a lot. So, yeah, I would expect them to, if Doyle can't go, the reports are, obviously, the Colts haven't, as of now, at noon Eastern time, they haven't released their injury report for the weekend. But Doyle, as of now, hasn't practiced on Friday, which would mean he hasn't practiced all week. Mm-hmm. Usually that does not bode well for the weekend. I would expect them to bring up Swoop. And in terms of, you know, who else they're going to have to lean on, you could see a lot more of Nyheim Hines. He wasn't really a big part of the passing game as he was in week one, in week two, but, you know, they're going to have to rely on him a little more. and then maybe even Ryan Grant. You know, if they feel they might have to look away from T.Y. Hilton a little bit because he's dealing with the sore quad. I mean, he returned to practice on Friday, which is huge, because then he'll probably enter the weekend as questionable. But knowing T.Y., he's probably going to play. But they might, you know, they're going to have to lean on some of their other weapons. And, yeah, it's big. And you're probably not going to have Anthony Costanzo either, because he hasn't been practicing.
Right.
So they're missing a lot of pieces.
Yeah, especially on offense. But defense isn't, you know, exempt from this either. Danico Autry, Hassan Ridgeway, neither one of them two have practiced all week. Chris Milton, coming out of concussion, has actually a full practice on Thursday yesterday. But, you know, this isn't – I mean, and then also you've got Quincy Wilson, which is another depth piece there at corner. This is kind of a sketchy deal, and with this it makes it harder to say, you know, this is how we're going to attack the Eagles. But with what they've got left, at least offensively, going up against this defense, that is probably the best unit of any of the four that'll be see the field, whether it's Colts offense or defense or Eagles offense or defense on both sides. You really have a defense that the Colts are going to have to be really good against for the most part. Now they allowed a ton of yards last week to Tampa Bay. They were beat, you know, they were gashed basically by a couple different receivers, but that, I mean, it feels different. Like we said, kind of, because Doyle's a bit of that pillar. You know, we saw that they could manage the offensive line without Anthony Costanzo, probably waiting to make him 100% when he comes back. But what strength do the Colts possibly have going into the game right now to where they can attack the Eagles and then be consistent doing it? Because they've been so good on third down, man, all year. But these two guys, I mean, especially Hilton, if for some reason he can't play, or Doyle, those two are a big part of those third down conversions.
Yeah, they are. The Colts have been surprisingly very well. I mean, I think they're the top team in terms of third down going into week three. So that's a huge, you know, surprise just in terms of what we saw last year. But first of all, I think it's helped that they've had a lot of third and manageable, right? They're not seeing third and eights, third and tens, or third and sixes. The quick passes are helping them set up a manageable third down. And then with the way Reich is calling the plays, it's giving them a lot of opportunities to get those quick third down conversions. So what they're going to have to do, you know, I think where they can beat the Eagles is when the Eagles are in man coverage. With their cornerback, with Jalen Mills, he hasn't really had a great start to the season. And depending on who they have lined up against T.Y., it could be Ronald Darby, could even be Sidney Jones, who's starting to work his way back. You know, they can get beat in man coverage. So I think that's something the Colts will have to exploit on Sunday. Obviously, they're not going to run man coverage the entire game. You know, they like to run some zone coverages, a lot of cover threes. So, but when they get into those man coverage situations, I think T.Y. Hilton is someone they're going to have to target.
Yeah. What do you think about – do you think it's even possible – I mean, we talk about Swope getting possibly brought up. Do you think it's possible that they may bring one of the receivers up off the practice squad as well, especially if T.Y. can't go?
I think it's, yeah. To be honest, I think T.Y. will go. Obviously, that's speculation. That's not anything that's something that could change overnight. Mm-hmm. But yeah, someone I really liked through the preseason, and, you know, he didn't really flash that much, but he had a couple big plays with Steve Ishmael from Syracuse. So I'm pretty sure he's still on the practice squad. And yeah, I mean, if they feel like, especially if Doyle can't go, that's another red zone target, because Steve Ishmael's a pretty big wide receiver. He's had a history at Syracuse of making some contested catches. I think he's the leading receiver at Syracuse for their school. So
yeah,
he's somebody that the Colts could look to bring up, especially if Doyle can't go, because that's another red zone target they're going to have to need for Andrew Luck.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've also got Reese Fountain down there as well, but
Ishmael
seemed to be better and a little bit more equipped, I think, both physically and mentally, to run the routes that they're expecting out of these guys, especially somebody who's going to be a fifth receiver coming in off the practice squad. Like I said, or like you said, I agree with you. It seems like a long shot, being that Hilton said he's going to be fine for this week, but he still hasn't practiced. It's really hard to say, you know, that you would
have
a whole week out of practice and still be expected to play. So I think that there's a lot of possibilities right now. This offense has their work cut out for him, man, but let's look at the other side of the ball real quick. The Colts defense, fast, young, exciting, a lot of fun to watch, especially when they're stopping the run, because that typically means that they're going to have more opportunities in coverage to make plays. The linebackers are going to be, you know, getting some more of these shorter passing lanes and stuff as soon as this run game starts to crumble. But the Colts front four, is, as most people have seen, is either going to be feast or famine. I think this year you're either going to see the slants along the defensive line work really well, or you're going to have bad games where the slants are mistimed and you know, not on the right play. Basically, you didn't guess right, and then they're going to eat up a lot of yardage on the ground, which is going to make that passing game, if they were to do that, for Carson Wentz a lot easier, you know, especially in his first game back. But this, I mean, the Colts have their weapons, their biggest weapons healthy, Malik Hooker and Darius Leonard. I mean, the corners have played nice and physical. Matthias Farley has been, interestingly enough, the second safety when they've gone to a dime look and Gethers has come up into the box. Gethers is questionable probably right now for Sunday, but where do the strengths lie in the defense, and not necessarily with individuals, but with their units? Because, you know, the Eagles are fairly depleted on offense as well. Their wide receiver core is trash right now, and they're going to have guys make a lot of plays to be good. But where do the Colts attack this Philadelphia offense, in your opinion?
Right, so you said it. I was going to say I'm not very impressed with the wide receiver group for the Eagles. Alshon Jeffery's probably going to be out again, which leaves Nelson Aguilar as their leading wide receiver. And he's, from my time working with the Giants and watching a lot of the NFC East, I really haven't been that impressed with Aguilar. He's put up some good numbers and he's flashed a little bit, but he's not a guy to me that you key on and say, don't let this guy beat us. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, they can't let him get behind the defense. So that's a lot on Hooker. You know, you can't have another AJ Green situation where he just completely dusts the secondary for a 30-yard touchdown. For the strengths, they're going to have to stop the run. And Carson Wentz's first game back, you know, there obviously is a chance that he could be rusty. So, you know, he's going to have a lot of adrenaline. It's going to be his first home game since tearing his ACL, which ended his 2017 season, had him miss out on a Super Bowl run. So if they're able to stop the run, and Jay Ajayi right now, as of today, he didn't practice. Is what I'm seeing on Twitter, mm-hmm. which would be a huge miss for the Eagles' defense or offense. Right. Jay has had a strong start to the season. He's really the heart of that running game. So if he misses and the Colts are able to really key on the running game, really make Carson Wentz roll a lot, and if they're able to set the edge, because we know the Eagles like to run a lot of options and a lot of play action. So when they start doing those RPOs and those option runs, they're really going to have to set the edge. Mm-hmm. And that's where I really think they could succeed, is if they're able to stop the run and force some of the receivers to make big plays, that's where they could find success. Yeah. They're really going to have to stop Zach Ertz, too, because Ertz is obviously an elite tight end.
Absolutely. And I think Darren Sproles has been out, too. So you've got two of the three playmaking positions there on offense really, you know, kind of bare as they go into this game. So, I mean, this look, I think that you could reasonably make a case for either team winning this game, and you'd probably be pretty darn close to being right. But looking at the way that this is set up for the Colts defensively, and kind of what they do, not necessarily best, but it's more of a I think the Colts need to attack the strength of the Eagles, which is their tight ends, like you just mentioned. They have to do that because the running back, I mean, force the running backs and the receivers that are guys being re-signed. Kamar Aiken came back. They just re-signed Jordan Matthews. And Matthews hasn't really done anything anyways. So how can, you know, he shouldn't be a guy you would expect to go off. Go after their tight ends, go after their strength, and then hope that the rest can crumble behind it, in my opinion. Because I think that's, you know, pop a couple of those guys really good, make sure the coverage on them is really tight, and force Carson Wentz to go to some of these guys that ultimately kind of bottom feeders right now because they've had so many injuries. I mean, they're going to have to rely on Corey Clement, who's a good running back, but then, you know, spelling him is going to be Wendell Smallwood and maybe Josh Adams or whatever they end up coming up with. To me, you attack the tight ends and you win, I think the Colts win the game.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting what you said about Jordan Matthews. The Jordan Matthews signing is interesting because when you figure Matthews is more of a slot wide receiver, mm-hmm. right? So he's going to be taking up more of the inside routes. That's going to push Nelson Aguilar to the outside, most likely.
Which doesn't.
And when Nelson Aguilar is on the outside, he just doesn't win. He's not as good of a wide receiver when he's working on the outside. So if they do play Jordan Matthews a lot, I know he was just signed, I think, this week or late last week. You know, if they wind up pushing him back outside, that's going to be a huge advantage for the Colts because Nelson Aguilar just isn't the same wide receiver when he's on the outside.
I agree completely. So what do you think about this one? Is this a Colts win or is this the Eagles in? Because their place is hell to play in. Do the Eagles hold that much of a home field advantage in this one to where they can pull it out?
I think the home field advantage will definitely play a part just because Eagles fans are absolutely ruthless at Lincoln Financial Field. But to me, the biggest concerns for the Colts are the injuries. Mm-hmm. You don't have Anthony Costanzo. You're probably not going to have Jack Doyle. Danico Autry is probably going to be out. There are a lot of injuries to very key positions. We've seen the Eagles' defense be really shaky. I think they're still a solid unit. I still think their defensive line is probably the deepest in the NFL. And we've seen the Colts hold their own against deep defensive lines. You know, we saw them hold their own against the Bengals. We saw them hold their own against the Redskins, who have probably an underrated defensive line.
Absolutely.
But on the road, I just don't see it in Carson Wentz's return.
Yeah. I'm kind of leaning towards that myself. I just wonder, you know, I mean, Carson Wentz is a good quarterback. He's a real good quarterback. And
yeah.
It's not like he's not been practicing. He's been doing all the drills, but it's the live bullets factor, I think, that really is going to tell the difference. We'll see in the first few possessions kind of how on he is, where his timing's at and stuff like that. Colts could take advantage of some early game struggles on his part, so that might be their entire focus. You know, script those to be some really aggressive play calls and try to get Carson Wentz shaken a little bit if at all possible. So it's going to be a good one, but
yeah,
I'm like you. I think that
I feel like if there is a time to really attack and really make a difference in the game, it's going to be early.
Yeah.
So if you dial up some blitzes, if you really get some pressure on Carson Wentz, that could wind up shaking him for the rest of the game. And I don't want to say that the Colts can't win because obviously they can surprise people like they did in week two. I think there might be a little bit too much going against them in terms of injuries.
Yeah, I wonder that myself, but it's going to be a good game. Kevin, thank you for dropping by the show today, my man. I appreciate it. Tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find us at the Colts Wire, coltswire.usatoday.com. You can follow me on Twitter at KevinHickey11, and the Colts Wire's Twitter is at the Colts Wire.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it, Matt. I always love coming on the show. You guys do great work over there, and it seems like every time I open up Stampede Blue, I'm learning something new. So I really appreciate you bringing me on.
We appreciate that, man, and we're a fan of yours as well. So everybody, make sure you guys are going to follow Kevin. Great source for Colts news and analysis as well. So Kevin, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Great time having you on. Guys, stay tuned. We're gonna have Michael Kist on for the second half of the show. He is Bleeding Green Nation, and he's gonna tell us what the Philadelphia Eagles are gonna do to target and attempt to exploit the Colts in this week 3 matchup. So stay tuned, and we'll see you guys here in just a few moments. Welcome back, folks. We now have my man Michael Kist on the line from Bleeding Green Nation, BGN Radio, the Kist and Solak Show. Michael, what's up, my man?
You are flying high, man. It's a good week to be alive. Week 3 NFL action. Carson Wentz is back in action for the Philadelphia Eagles. Couldn't be more excited, man.
Let's start there, dude. So, I mean, I was smart enough not to really pay attention to the people who were saying that Andrew Luck was going to be terrible coming back, you know, because he's been off the field. I thought he might be a little rusty, you know, have some a game or two to really get himself, his feet underneath him, so to speak. You figure it to be the same for Carson Wentz, maybe a little rusty, but overall should be doing him, be in pretty good shape, being that he's been in most of the practices. He just simply hasn't been there for contact.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew Luck was over 600 days since his last game played. It's been 9 months for Carson Wentz, and he had nearly a full season under his belt. He has looked fresh, in tune with the offense during training camp and practices. And all the reports say that he's sharp mentally, sharp physically, and that's something that Doug Peterson pointed out today in the press conference. So I don't see much. Like, it's weird because it's hard to say that he's going to come out and be the same quarterback that he was last year right out of the gate. I think that's an unfair expectation.
Right.
However, I don't expect him to be some like newborn calf out there. So maybe somewhere in the middle ground, and we'll see if he can get hot.
I agree, and I love the analogy to a newborn calf. That, as always, that would always be a great sight there on the football field to watch that. That's usually what happens after one of the concussions, not with the quarterback coming out.
Yeah, for sure. But no, yeah, I expect full confidence from Carson. I'm really, it'll be really telling to see what happens when he needs to step up into the pocket and really plan off that leg. And because that's what you see a lot with quarterbacks with ACLs, that unwillingness to step into the snake pit, as it were, and fire and deliver. I think Carson Wentz got the mental toughness to be able to deal with it and put it past it once the bright lights come on and really just put on a show. So I'm excited for it, and I hope it's everything that everyone imagines is going to be.
Yeah, I honestly hope it's just a really good game, because I'd love to see the Colts make it extremely competitive and play well, not a situation where both teams look like crap and the Colts lose by one. You know, that's never going to make anybody feel good on either side of the ball, or on either side of the fandom, I guess you could say. But with the injury report kind of the way it is right now, Carson Wentz is coming back, but you've got a lot of guys out, both in the receiving core and in the running back room. So what should we expect the Eagles' approach to be offensively against a young and exciting Colts defense with basically your franchise there, but a lot of his, you know, best buddies not really available and not willing to – not able to get on the field and help and complement what he's doing coming back?
Yeah, it's unfortunate because Alshon Jeffrey has not been cleared for contact yet. He's coming back from that torn rotator cuff surgery that he had in the offseason. Matt Collins has been on IR. Mike Wallace may not make it back this season with the ankle injury he suffered in Tampa Bay. That's three of your top three starters, you know, you added Nelson Aguilar, three of your top four starters right there. So you're really leaning, and you can see the target distribution for the Eagles, over 20 targets for Zach Ertz, over 20 targets for Nelson Aguilar. And then it drops down to Darren Sproles as the next highest targeted person. He didn't even play in week two because of the hamstring, and he's going to be somewhat of not necessarily a game time decision. I think they're announcing it later today. Jay Ajayi is dealing with his back. So really depleted on the offensive weapons. And what that means is, you know, you bring in Jordan Matthews, the old teammate for Carson during his rookie year, and you might push Nelson Aguilar out to the outside a little bit more. They're going to move him around a lot. So maybe he sees half of his snaps on the outside, half of them inside, and they'll rotate guys in and out. I don't see Jordan Matthews getting like 60 snaps right out of the gate. But yeah, Nelson outside and Zach Ertz, and hopefully we see some more Dallas Goedert, because Dallas Goedert has not been getting the amount of snaps that you would expect from a second-round rookie that you know, we really coveted. And last year we really liked to use those two tight end sets, which maybe that influences a bit of Frank Reich, because they're using a heck of a lot of them in Indianapolis, if I'm not mistaken. They're using about 36% of the time over there. So we'll see how they deploy as far as personnel groupings, because right now they've been a three wide receiver team, but I mean, who are the wide receivers?
Can that tight end room carry the team offensively, especially with a defense that basically knows that? I mean, obviously you can't just let other guys run free, but if the Colts were to focus on that tight end room, is that something that, you know, that you think the Eagles can kind of overcome throughout their offensive play throughout the day? I mean, is that their strength, and is it strong enough to battle the Colts, who aren't a great defense, but they're going to be a defense, in my opinion, who's going to really try to lock down those guys to keep the offense from really getting a jump start?
Yeah, and I think what you're going to see from the Colts is them funneling that stuff inside to those linebackers like Darius Leonard and Anthony Walker and Sky Moore and whatnot. And that the plan for the Eagles should not only be to get 12 personnel involved with Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz, because those are two of your better weapons, and you know, Nelson Aguilar is more, you know, in tune with playing in the slot right now, but you have a soft shell cover two, sometimes cover three defense with the Colts that did a fantastic job against the Washington Redskins of limiting those downfield shots. And the Redskins came in the wrong game plan. They were looking for a lot of vertical shots. It held. It made Alex Smith hold on to the ball longer than he was comfortable with. You saw a lot of checkdowns. Chris Thompson had 14 targets, 13 catches. They didn't stretch the Colts' defense horizontally with some quick hitting type stuff. And I think that's what the Eagles need to do against those zones. You've got a young secondary, a young linebacker group. They're not making things too exotic. It's a bit of a static cover two zone. They want to play that soft shell zone, and then they want to come and attack after the pass is, you know, completed very, very short. So low air yards is probably what you're going to have to see from the Eagles, and you're going to have to see them stretch them horizontally. Now, whether they stretch them horizontally with 11 personnel with three wide receivers or they do it with 12 with two tight ends, you can do it with 12, and they do it in Indianapolis as well. Maybe you've seen it with Frank Reich. You can get Eric Ebron and Jack Doyle or Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert on the field and put them in trips and have one guy isolated on the other side. So you can still stretch horizontally with 12 personnel, but that's the kind of attack that I want to see, some quick hitting stuff where you've got, you know, curls and whip routes and whatnot to attack those short zones mesh, which, you know, you guys are fully familiar with now with Frank Reich. But yeah, attack horizontally, make it quick, and then your playmakers are going to have to make plays after the catch. That's just what it is.
And now, can that offense, I mean, I agree, they are going to have to attack downfield, because I don't think, I mean, the quick passing game, as we've seen with the Colts, is a high percentage thing. It's a good thing to get the rhythm going. I think they'll probably do a little bit of that to start the game with Carson Wentz. But once they do realize that they've got to attack these, you know, this Colts defense, can this offensive line hold up to a team that may blitz significantly more than what they have thus far throughout the year? Because the Colts are, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, they blitz the least in the NFL right now. If they were to flip their game plan upside down and try to attack Carson Wentz in his first game back and really get him shook, is that an offensive line that can handle the extra pass rusher?
Yeah, I think they had some communication issues last week that they're going to get cleaned up. That's a doggone good offensive line you're looking at with four guys that have gone to the Pro Bowl, and then you throw in Steven Wisniewski at left guard, and he's solid as well. So I think they can definitely handle the communication there. The Colts, even if they do bring a lot of pressure, nothing's going to be too exotic to where it's going to really fool them that much. And that's not a knock on them. It's just, you know, they haven't installed a lot of stuff on that defense because, again, they're so young, and all they want to be is assignment sound, even at the cost of being bland. And that's worked for them in certain scenarios. It's bit them a little bit in other scenarios against the Bengals, for instance. But I think anything the Colts throw at them defensively shouldn't surprise this Philadelphia Eagles team. And then if the blitz isn't getting home, that's when you can start taking those shots with Nelson Aguilar downfield. And some of those things might open up. I would welcome the Colts to blitz, because maybe we could get some more chunk plays a little more naturally rather than having to try to force things against, you know, a team that is dropping seven guys into soft coverage.
Absolutely. So then you look at the running backs now, and you kind of have, I mean, we all know that Corey Clement is a guy who is more than able and capable of handling a little bit larger load than what he's normal to. But when then you look at the fact that the two guys ahead of him aren't there, is he going to be a guy that they can hand the ball to 20 times? And then with the guys that are going to spell him with Smallwood and Adams, what does that mean for the running back room? Is there just going to be a ton of pass attempts and very little rushing attempts? They're going to try to use these guys out of the backfield a ton? Or how do you see that their kind of their balance between the running game goes?
I think the first thing that I want to see, and to see how that running game is going to go, is the fact that against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Jay Ajayi goes out early in the first half. And in the second half, he comes back, and they go to 12 personnel early in that half with Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert, Jay Ajayi. That's when the Bucs came out in their base defense with three linebackers, because before that, they were not respecting the fact that we were going to run the ball with Corey Clement, Wendell Smallwood, and company. So you're going to have to get that running game going to get that base defense out there to start exploiting some of the matchups that you're going to get with 12 personnel. So early on, I would expect them to come out in that 12 personnel with the wings and try to get that going, to try to get that third linebacker on the field, and then you can work with play action against them. And, you know, I like Darius Leonard in coverage, but The other guys out there that I've seen in coverage are pretty basic and not all that athletic. No offense to Anthony Walker, but like that's who I'm going after. I'm going after the number 44. I can't even think of his name right now, but like I saw him on the field and I was like, okay, if we get him on the field, then we can get Goddard on him and we're good there. I just don't know if Corey Clement is going to get 20 carries. I think it's going to be more like a 15-8 split with him and Wendell Smallwood, and you throw in a couple for Josh Adams, who he just brought on from the practice squad. So we're going to have to, and we have the offensive line to be able to take care of things up front. However, I do think that the Colts front four is a better run stuffing unit than they are a pass rushing unit.
Right.
So they may be able to get some wins there.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And we've seen a little bit of Marcus Hunt, you know, really kind of playing beyond any expectations over the past 2 years, especially with another scheme change. And then, you know, Al Woods has been solid. They've got some good interior push, but they're and like you said, I agree with you, because their interior push is so good, they can continue to do that on running downs. But their edge rush right now is really almost solely relying on Jabal Sheard and Marcus Hunt right now, and that just can't be the case, especially going in to a team. You know, look, Philly is going to be one of the hardest places that this Colts team plays all year, no doubt. It wouldn't even really matter what kind of a team Philly was putting on the field. This is going to be a hard game regardless for the Colts. They're going to struggle. The Philly defense, though, is going to have, you know, the Colts may, I don't think they will, but they may be without T.Y. Hilton. We're going to have probably LaRaven Clark at left tackle again this week because Costanzo's struggling. But I thought Clark did admirable considering what he has shown in the past, this past week against the Redskins. So, but even still, the Colts are depleted a little bit. Marlon Mack's still out, which I don't know that makes a big difference, really, probably for some space plays. But, I mean, look, most of Philly's defense is pretty healthy. You're still going to have to deal with Derek Barnett. The Colts are going to have a lot of issues with this Philly defense. What are they going to do to attack this Colts offense? And Jack Doyle may be out, too. That really limits Andrew Luck as far as what he's got in his bag for the guys he's most comfortable with targeting. That's for sure.
Yeah, for what they like to do, Jack Doyle for me would be the biggest cause of a shift in philosophy for the Colts offense to kind of get them out of their comfort zone. I'm fine with the Colts trying to attack with three wide receivers because there's really one, and it's T.Y. Hilton, and he needs to play. And, you know, he's a warrior, dude. He'll play through anything. I put it out there that he might miss, and I had Jake Arthur from the official Colts sites. You know, we talked in the DMs, and he was like, I would expect him to play just because that's the type of guy he is. So I really have a lot of respect for T.Y. Hilton, what he's able to play through and the level he's able to play at. With that said, I agree that Marlon Mack being out wouldn't be that big of a hit. I really, really like Nyheim Hines. And Jordan Wilkins is a nice complement to him as runner as well, can contribute in the pass game a little bit. Nyheim Hines, to me, is someone that you try to get locked up on a linebacker matchup, and it's something that we've seen them try to do, and they'll throw him out on a wheel while they're running mesh in the middle, and they'll see if they can get him. Week two, they got him locked up on Ryan Anderson, the linebacker for Washington.
Yeah.
That was a 0.4 difference on 40 time. The throw just didn't come. A week before that, they had him on Preston Brown, and Preston Brown got burned on an angle route by him. So, and then they'll use him in that 21 personnel. They'll use that two-back set with him and Jordan Wilkins. They like to motion Hines a lot and then pass the ball to him, and, you know, on the outside of the formation with a couple wide receivers blocking for him. So a lot of stuff that you can do with Hines, and he's going to have to get hyper activated in the passing game if Doyle is out. If Doyle is not out, then it'll be interesting with the linebackers. Bradham was a little bit rusty last week. What I want to see, because the depth of the target for the Colts, they've only thrown four deep passes over 20 yards this entire, you know, in the first two games. But what I want to see from the defense is not to get shredded on that underneath stuff a lot like they did against Tampa Bay, because they had so much respect for the playmakers and the speed there, is to run less cover three, run more inverted cover two, let McLeod sniff around the box, because he's very good at overlapping zones and making plays when he sees things to try to take things away and make plays against Andrew Luck, because it's going to be that quick hitting passing attack unless they start to get vertical with T.Y. So I would throw a little extra attention towards T.Y.'s way and then just bring everybody else up and let them play fast downhill. And I would expect them also to send some blitzes, test that left side, because we haven't been getting that much pressure from that left side with Derek Barnett out there. He's been a bit of a ghost. He's been fantastic against the run, but a bit of a ghost as a pass rusher. And I think they might try to switch things up. And you saw it in week one. They tried to move Michael Bennett out there for some snaps. And they had Chris Long working over there. They flipped Brandon Grant over there for a few snaps. So they're trying to manufacture some pressure from that side for sure.
Absolutely. Well, and then you look at that and you kind of take all that into consideration for their passing game, for the Colts passing game. The Eagles have shown, I mean, it's only been 2 weeks, but they're down in the bottom of the league, I think 28th or 29th in total pass yards, which isn't really all that big of a deal. You're looking at scoring and stuff, what they've done in the end. Have they forced field goals, so on and so forth? They've got six interceptions this – I'm sorry, they've forced six sacks this year. Is the pass rush not – is it not a consistent pressure? Is it basically a feast or famine so far with the Eagles right now? Or what exactly are the Colts facing with that?
Yeah, I mean, they're creating pressure over a 35% clip in both games. And I thought that the pressure was consistent. And I think the biggest question is in the Bucs game, because they got torched a little bit there. They pressured Ryan Fitzpatrick on 38% of his dropbacks. You didn't notice because Ryan Fitzpatrick was getting rid of the ball in 2.2 seconds on average, which was faster than the week before against the Saints, where he was getting out lightning fast. They were getting there, and Fletcher Cox has been extremely disruptive in the middle for them. And by the way, I really want to see Fletcher Cox and Quentin Nelson against each other in some meaningful reps in the run and pass game. I think that's a super fun matchup, just like Nelson acquitted himself well against Jonathan Allen last week, and Allen got some wins, Nelson got some wins. It's a really fun player to watch. But overall, the pass rush was fine, did not wear out throughout the game. They were getting to Fitzpatrick, and they ended up with two sacks. One was like a scramble, but the other one, Cox just came in and just destroyed things, and it was an immediate sack. So they were getting there. It was just the coverage, they were playing a little bit soft for my liking, and they were able to get rid of the ball really quick, and Ryan Fitzpatrick was really good at identifying pre-snap leverage where he should go with the ball, getting to his first read. I charted it. He within his last step of his drop and one hitch, he got rid of the ball 71% of the time. So before that next step came. So the pass rush for the Eagles, especially at home, is going to be bumping. And that's why I'm confident that they can bring even more pressure to get home and bring those zones even closer, because Andrew Luck is going to be under some fire and he is going to have to get rid of the ball quick.
Yeah, he's been taking a lot of hits. I think they've only given up three sacks, but he's been hit 16 times. And that, if you look at the guys who have the most QB hits, I think the large percentage of them have eight or nine sacks against them, somewhere between six and nine sacks that they've allowed their offensive lines, whereas it's an outlier with Luck, because that's the same thing. He's been able to get the ball out quick, which is keeping him from being sacked, but the Colts are still allowing some pressure. Which side of the ball do the Eagles actually hold the largest advantage on, in your opinion?
I would say it's a defense, just because of the lack of big time playmakers, and T.Y. being banged up. He's not going to be at 100% if he plays. The Eagles at home, their home and road splits are wildly different. It's a Jekyll and Hyde situation with them. You know, over 20 points averaged on the road since Jim Schwartz has been the coordinator. I think it's something like 12 points allowed at home. And that crowd noise is a big time advantage for them. And it's big for the pass rushers, because guys like Michael Bennett and guys like Derek Barnett, this is why I'm thinking Barnett might have a nice little bounce back game, really key in on the tendencies and the cadence of an offense. And after the first quarter, because, you know, the offense, you're not going verbal out there. Everything signals and you start to get in a rhythm with your cadence that the defense can key in on. And Barnett feasts on that. When he's keying to the snap, that's when he wins with that first step quickness. So he can struggle otherwise. But at home, this Eagles defense is an absolute wood chipper. You saw it against the Falcons. They gave up yards from 20 to 20. I said they would before the game, and then they got to the red zone and they absolutely stalled out. And it wasn't just because of Steve Sarkisian's incompetence. There was excellent execution from the Eagles defense in the red area as well. So I'll go advantage Eagles defense all day long, and I hope they lean on them to win this game.
Now, and that's from the personnel standpoint, I totally agree with you. Looking at, you know, the play caller standpoint of this, it makes it a little interesting, because there is the familiarity there with Reich to Schwartz's system and vice versa. Where do these two kind of match up, do you think? Is this going to be a game where it depends on scheming largely to kind of overtake the other? Or is this something that where these guys are just basically going to rely on their personnel to make, you know, to execute at a high level?
Yeah, I think both of those guys are pretty comfortable with executing their game plan no matter who they're going up against and not changing up too much. Obviously, they're going to throw some wrinkles in there, but I don't think you're going to see anything new and exotic from Jim Schwartz, and I don't think you're going to see anything too crazy from Frank Reich on the other side, just because of, you know, the weapons that he's dealing with. He's going to want to execute his offense, and, you know, Schwartz is going to put it on the offense to execute. So if they die by 1,000 paper cuts, then they die by 1,000 paper cuts, but they didn't give up the big shot. Mm-hmm. So I think that'll be the focus for Schwartz. He may bring some more blitzes and whatnot and try to get the heat going up and get the ball out quicker, and hopefully what I'm hoping for, like I said, that inverted cover two to get more zones in the short areas. And then also, you know, trying to do some run blitzes and just attack them a little bit more than they attacked the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because I felt he coached a little bit scared in that Bucs game. He got away from the blitz after he got burned on it on the first play, where Malcolm Jenkins ended up busting his coverage, relying on the blitz to get there and all that. But yeah, I mean, we know that offense that they're running in Indianapolis. I was watching it the other day and I saw, you know, the mesh sit concept, and right after that, you know, from 11 they were running Wham, and it was watching Eagles film basically. So they both know each other. It's just going to come down to execution.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited to watch that, kind of the meeting of the minds there with that, because Schwartz is, yeah, you know, as a head coach hasn't been all that successful, but he's been really successful and people really praise him within the Eagles organization for his ability to game plan and get these guys to execute. And vice versa, we as Colts fans are really high on Frank Reich right now, because you see that he's not a guy who gets too high or too low. He's going to stick to his game plan, like you mentioned. And it just, it really is going to be fun to watch. I hope that it becomes good execution on good execution, and that makes for good football to watch. But in the end, obviously, it just really comes down to, you know, who you've got available and who makes, you know, one or two big plays or bad plays. So it'll be a lot of fun for me, from my vantage point, to watch Coach Reich go after Schwartz and kind of try to pick his guys apart and see what it does if he's able to do that early in the game, and then vice versa on the other side of the ball. So it's just going to be a really interesting game to watch, I think.
Yeah, and Doug Peterson said it today in his press conference that he has never seen Frank Reich get ruffled whatsoever. So he's got that nice, cool, calm, not too high, not too low type of demeanor. And Doug's like that on the sidelines. He's been a little bit fiery with the press lately because they keep bugging him about Carson Wentz. And now that that's off his shoulders, he seems a little more chipper around the building. But that, you know, the even keel type mentality is what you need. Jim Schwartz, on the other hand, is an absolute maniac, right, which I kind of love for my defensive coordinators, you know. But he caught a lot of flack for the last game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He didn't adjust as well as he typically does. Typically in the second half, the Eagles defense gets even better, and that's the sign of really good coaching, because teams are trying to adjust to what you're doing and counterpunch. And if you don't have another counterpunch back, then you're just going to keep, you know, you're going to get punched in the face a lot. So that was disappointing from Schwartz last week. I think he gave a lot of respect to their weapons. I could see him doing really well in this matchup with his buddy Frank. But yeah, if the Colts start to dial some things up and catch the Eagles off guard, I want to see if Schwartz is able to get into a battle of wits and come out on the winning side with his buddy Frank.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Well, the Colts just now announced that six of their seven inactives are already set to be out for Sunday. Denico Autry, ooh, Anthony Costanzo, Jack Doyle, Marlon Mack, Hassan Ridgeway, Quincy Wilson, all just announced as out for Sunday. So there is that's a ugly start to the weekend. But man,
so that means that Pierre Desir is going to start on the outside for you guys. The Lindenwood kid that's bounced around the league a little bit, right?
Yeah, and he's good. He had a really good week last week.
Really good.
He's been pretty pretty solid, I think, since the Colts brought him in last year.
Yeah, he was a long corner that I liked coming out of Lindenwood. I knew he was going to need some development that he wasn't going to hit right away. If he got in a good situation, that he could develop into something nice. And, you know, he was a bit of a darling of mine. So it's nice to see him play last week. And like you said, I really liked him in coverage last week. I thought he had a fantastic game. He was sure in his coverage. So Hopefully that means that you guys found some more depth in that cornerback group, because you definitely could use some young guys in there.
Yeah, I don't know if we found enough. I think that Wilson wasn't really playing a bunch of snaps anyways, but still, you need that extra guy in there. Hopefully Milton's ready to go and all set. He's coming out of concussion, so you never know. Just that first, yeah, that first physicality of the game could knock him right back out. That just seems like it's up and down. You could flip a coin on those guys that come back from concussion each week. So
you guys play a lot of three safeties on third down too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I could definitely see, you know, if Pierre Desir is able to step up his game and you get, you know, Quincy back and Milton back, that you might be able to get away from that. I think that's more of a necessity thing with you guys, or unless you just really like the skill set of Matthias Farley, which, you know, I could probably take relief, to be honest.
Yeah, he's been good for the Colts. They put him in last week, and they've been doing that where they'll bring Gethers in or down, you know, whether it be dime or, you know, a heavy nickel. They've been doing that, and it's worked for the Colts so far. Matthias Farley, he's a physical guy, and he's better than Gethers right now in coverage. So I think that that's a smart move for them to try to bring more physicality to the middle of that defense. So I think it's a smart move when you look at who the other options would be. They do use, you know, Sky Moore, the undrafted free agent. They use him a little bit in the nickel, but he's not the heavy nickel. And they've used him in dime as well, but I don't think that was when Gethers was healthy. I'm talking preseason here, so that obviously has changed quite a bit. But, man, going to be a good game, my dude. Michael, thank you so much for joining us here again on the Colts Cast, man. Always a pleasure to have you on. And, you know, we've got some talking to do in the next few days as the game starts to get underway. I'm scared to death about this one. It just looks ugly from top to bottom. But what are your thoughts? I'm pretty certain that you would pick the Eagles. I picked the Eagles myself. So where do you think this game kind of ends up? Is this a close game, one-score game, or is this possibility for the Eagles to open one up on the Colts?
I think it might be a little bit slow out of the gates, and you're going to see some longer type of grinding drives, which the Colts were able to finish on last week against the Redskins. So that was an encouraging sight from their offense to be able to do that. So long grinding kind of game. Now, I don't know if either team can really get the run game going that much, but I went with, when we did our previous show on the Kiss and Solak show, I went 21-14 Eagles. So I think the Eagles win comfortably. But the game at some point, you know, it's always going to be kind of close enough for the Colts just to be within that striking distance, which is dangerous for any NFL team to let a team hang around like that. So could come up to a crazy finish. But I've got the Eagles by 7.
Yeah, I think the only thing that's saving the Colts, or the only thing that's keeping the Colts, you know, in the ballpark, I think, of getting at least 21 points, is the fact that Hilton is not ruled out quite yet. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's definitely a big help for the Colts, because otherwise they, you know, they're struggling at tight end right now. And, you know, their biggest help on the offensive line is out again. So, we're just going to have to deal with this for a couple weeks, I think. Hopefully the Colts can manage and do this. But I think it sets up to be a good afternoon game here at 1 o'clock. So, Michael.
Hey, this Colts offense reminds me so much of the 2016 Philadelphia Eagles offense. They're like literal doppelgangers, and I hope you guys get on the weapons for luck train in that wide receiver group next offseason.
Yeah, just the year before they really exploded last year. That's hopefully what hopefully that is exactly what we see. The year before they go big, Colts could use going big as far as weaponry. That's for sure. Gets Andrew Luck a lot more help up there. So, guys, that's it for the show today. We'll have our reaction show on Monday. Thank you, Michael, for stopping by, man. Always a good time. And make sure that you guys are getting us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts and hooking us up with a rating and review. Make sure you guys are staying tuned for the news coming up about the podcast. That's continued to get pushed back a little bit by little bit each day, it seems. But we do have some great news for you guys coming up, so make sure you're staying tuned for that. Otherwise, good luck to Michael and the Eagles. Not really, but we're going to hope that the Colts can do something here with all the weaponry and personnel that they're going to be without on Sunday. So, Colts fans, keep your fingers crossed. We'll see how it goes, and we'll talk to you guys Monday right here on the Colts Cast. Stampede Blue.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.